Hello. Everybody, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast, a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. I am Jamil Graham, your host. I'm very grateful to be welcoming today an outstanding intelligence of our time, Alfred Labermont Weber, who is going to be continuing our conversation, our multidimensional exploration with us, with regard to the escalating perceived violence in our world that began the conversation with the Boston bombings and the continuing revelations of the false flags that have been becoming normalized in our culture. And this was started, the conversation, I began this conversation in a solo, the last broadcast on May the 4th. And I basically really am committed to honoring the light that is coming into this planet right now, the light of consciousness, the light of the truth, and the possibilities, the opportunities that we have as a humanity, as a collective, to really put on a whole new consciousness and really look with new eyes and an open heart at what our world is and how it got this way and how we can make this world a place we want to live in. And this is a study. This isn't a two-hour fix-it. This is a study. This is a life choice to make these commitments and do it. And it's very exciting and very tedious and all these good things. So in the beginning of the multidimensional exploration of the Boston violence and what I call the Boston meltdown and the birth of Israelica, today, the multidimensional exploration will continue with Alfred Labermont Weber, and he will take us to a completely new dimensional exploration of this, as he'll take us to a bigger picture. He's going to take us to the picture of the upper theater, what the theater of the agenda that's being perpetrated with the communion and complicity of humanity is taking place. And he has published many, many articles, all worth reading, fascinating work he's published. And the articles that we're going to be working with predominantly, but certainly not limited to, are on the website and the BBS profile website, as well as exopolitics.com and the alchemyoflight.org. It's called Obama, Pope Francis, Prince William, Implementers or Deconstructors of the New World Order. And I'm really excited that we have this capacity now to move to a bigger picture. And thank you so much, Alfred, for being with us at this time and for being such a tremendous committed soul in helping this process. It's such an honor to share this time with you.
Oh, great. Jamil, I'm very, 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 very happy to be here. And if I might, I would like to share with your listeners some thoughts and perspectives on the larger cosmological and dimensional view of what is manifesting in the dimensional ecology, because the various manifestations and transitions that we're experiencing here on Earth are really a manifestation of what's occurring in many different dimensions that we don't see, because we are sort of a manifestation of interplays that are occurring way in dimensions that we may not even have any inkling exist. Would that be okay?
Please.
Okay. Well, and this is working our way to begin to understand or maybe parse out some more insight into this complexity known as the New World Order that is trying to unfold itself onto the planet now, because it's a rollout of, I think, many different dimensional agendas. And it's a manifestation of multiple dynamics in the dimensional ecology around Earth. One view at the cosmological level, the New World Order may itself represent the manifestation of archonic forces inherent in our universe, that is, the universe that Earth is a part of in the larger multiverse. Now, archons are hidden negative controllers of humankind. They're inorganic, interdimensional entities that now need to be exposed and exercised from our individual minds, from our species, from the planet, and from the solar system, from the galaxy, and from our universe as a whole. They are kind of the spanner in the works of reality. And as it turns out, some analysts and researchers believe that archonic forces or archons may have been present at the very creation of our universe, the particular universe that we're in, and caused faults or defects in the very design of intelligent life in our universe, such that evil or separation from source, separation from God, exists in our universe. Other researchers believe that archons may have been brought into our universe by spacefaring travelers from our universe who violated an injunction against venturing through a wormhole or stargate to a dark universe populated by the archons. So they kind of led into our universe from a parallel universe through a stargate that should never have been opened. So that's at one level, kind of the archonic level. And at some level, you could say that Earth now is suffering from an archonic infestation. You know, that no, quote, person is really at fault, but it's an archonic infestation that's infesting humanity and all of human minds, and that's why all these institutions like war as an economic activity and all of these oppressive institutions like slavery and serfdom and economic oppression and, you know, governmental forms like the police state, monarchy, representative government, I mean, empires, all of that. Now, there's another level, which is the spiritual level. And at the spiritual level, the rollout of the, quote, New World Order here on Earth may represent the manifestation of luciferic and satanic diabolical dimensional forces. The Illuminati power structure of bloodline monarchies especially the UK and Dutch crowns and the City of London bloodline banking families, are satanic and derive their power from diabolical dimensional entities they attract through ritual child sacrifice, mind control, and generational abuse. At the level of dimensional exopolitics, the New World Order is also the continued manifestation of the attempted takeover of third dimensional Earth by the fourth dimensional Draco Reptilian Orion Gray Extraterrestrial Alliance. And the deconstruction of the New World Order, which I think we starseeds, we light workers, that's our mission here, is partially our mission, is to deconstruct this attempted rollout of the New World Order and to anchor the new positive timeline. That would mean that in some way the Draco Reptilian Orion Gray extraterrestrial takeover has been deconstructed as well. So in deconstructing the New World Order on Earth, that would involve cosmological intervention at the level of the source or creator of our universe to counterattack the effects of our cosmic duality in our universe. And we've seen that through broadcasts of unity consciousness, which are now coming in through the interdimensional portal at the core of our universe. And that's the significance of December 21st, 2012, the whole kind of changeover that has happened there. And at the spiritual level, this represents the coming in of positive spiritual forces to counteract the diabolical Luciferian and satanic forces and slowly bring this planet back into the light. There are all sorts of stories in the spiritual text that that was the mission of earlier the landing of, for example, Jesus, who actually battled Satan or for control of a planet. Satan offered him worldly, you know, but that was kind of a Jesus and many of the avatars are sort of missionaries of light into this particular planet to help in its bringing it out of the sort of column of darkness into the column of light. And that's a process that we're all involved in now. At the exopolitical level, there's many indications that the projected takeover of Earth and Mars by the Draco Reptilian Orion Gray Alliance, which had been timelined for the year 2000 to 2050, has been halted and is being reversed by an alliance, a consortium of upper dimensional human extraterrestrial civilizations, including the Alpha Centaurians, the Pleiadians, and others. So now we come down to the third dimension here on Earth, and how that process, that transition is going. And right now, I've been focusing on three principal archetypal figures in the archetype of the New World Order. As you mentioned, the upper theater, those figures that are named in biblical prophecy or prophetic texts as rolling out the New World Order, for example, in the book of Revelation, and that is the Pope, the Queen, and the Obama. Looking at each of these, because these figures are now beginning to assume their role in the attempted rollout of the New World Order. And they're actually manifesting. We have a manifestation of Pope Francis I, a Jesuit pope, who is apparently fulfilling the Saint Malachi prophecies of being Petrus Romanus, the last pope, otherwise known as the false prophet, that is, the person who brings a false world religion and gets people to worship the beast, who may be false extraterrestrials or, you know, the Antichrist, whatever that is. And I think that Antichrist and a false prophet, these are terms which can apply to an individual, but they can also apply to an age. That is, where people get in the spirit of the Antichrist, that is, against God or Source. They get in the spirit of the false prophet, putting out, false creeds and memes. We have now the British monarchy, which rules over 34 countries, and really through Prince William, there's an extensive satanic Illuminati plan for a world Illuminati king. And Prince William satisfies all of those criteria, including bloodline criteria. Mm. Then we have the case of the Obama, where people can go to an article that we published on exopolitics.com, where Barry Satoro, Barack Obama, seems to embody the archetype of the deceiver. And back in the 70s in Stanford Research Institute, where I was a futurist, we studied a thing called friendly fascism, and which is the system that the U.S. and a large part of the world is coming under now. It's another word for the New World Order. And Obama seems to embody the leader of friendly fascism in a way that Adolf Hitler embodied sort of the bootjack leader of the Nazi era, of sort of the in-your-face Nazism. And so these are sort of ways to map all of this. And my purpose in writing all of this and coming out with this, and over 20,000 people now have viewed the PowerPoint in the article I just mentioned about Obama and the archetype of the deceiver. Mm. In that PowerPoint, in just 55 slides, we absolutely present and deconstruct how an individual, Barry Satoro, was created into the Manchurian candidate known as Barack Obama, where there is legally no person known as Barack Obama. That person doesn't exist. That person is what they call in the intelligence trade a legend. And so the person occupying the White House now is an intelligence legend. It's like a character in a movie. You create them. It's a fiction. Except he's a three-dimensional fiction, and this is the third, a 3D movie that we're in, which is, in fact, we're in a holographic time-space hologram. My purpose today is just, as you said, to begin to explore some of these issues. And right before airtime, I was sent a 60-page document, which I put up at exopolitics.com, called Obama's Use of Hidden Hypnosis Techniques. And these are techniques developed by Milton Erickson, Dr. Milton Erickson, who developed a form of conversational hypnosis that could be hidden in seemingly normal speech and used on patients without their knowledge for therapy purposes. And Obama's speeches contain the following hypnosis techniques: trance inductions, hypnotic anchoring, pacing and leading, pacing distraction and utilization, critical factor bypass, stacking language patterns, pre-programmed response adaptation, linking statements, causality bridges, secondary hidden meanings embedded, suggestions, emotional transfer, and non-dominant hemisphere programming. So that's why people say, I just love him. I don't know why. Mm. It's because they're hypnotized. And I just want to say one more thing in this sort of introductory statement is that you're quite right. I wrote the 10,000-word article about Obama and the deceiver archetype sort of under the pressure cooker, no pun intended, of the Boston Marathon false flag, which went from April 15th to April 19th, 2013. There was another very famous false flag on April 13th. This was April 13th, 1913, by the way, 100 years earlier, and that was the sinking of the Titanic, which was a false flag in which J.P. Morgan and others conned all of the bankers, Wall Street bankers and City of London bankers that were opposed to the establishment of the Rothschild-controlled Federal Reserve Bank, which is as federal as Federal Express, a private bank to control the world dollar, and sent it to the bottom of the ocean so that they would all die. Wow. So that is just kind of a interesting fact, but what I noted is that these false flags are designed like a pyramid, and they have the energy of really implementing a new system, which is a world mind control system, in which all of the people, you know, in which the sheeple, the people, come under the control of this pyramid of mind control. And it happened most especially in the Newtown School false flag operation, followed by the Boston false flag, in which the capstone of the pyramid as a mind control operation is Barack Obama. And Barack Obama flies in typically on the third or fourth day and delivers a hypnotic speech. That is the capstone. And, you know, that's the final, filled with all of these hypnotic tools. And that embeds this entire experience in the collective mass mind so they can implement the shredding of the Constitution and implement, further designs. Okay,
well,
so...
Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, no. So I just wanted to say that we're dealing with a highly technologized global mind control empire, and that is archonic, Diabolical and Draco Reptilian and Orion Gray in its origin. So there you have it. As well as Satanic Anunnaki, generational in its origin.
Wow. I mean, this is just such a great conversation to have right now, because you have given us, we have the three, us, the participants, the humans. The next level would then be the theater of the mind manipulation and the orchestration of wars, the development of all of these false flags, the implementation of them, going to the next level. We're now in the ether with fourth dimensional beings. I'm giving it a number for clarification, just to give it something to hold a form. That would be where we meet our Draco Reptilians and the other ethereal beings, both working for the healing and the ultimate transformation of humanity, rebirth, and the ones that are committed to the destruction of the planet. Then it goes into higher levels that connect to the universe at large that we haven't gotten to, but this conversation is so helpful, because looking at our world situation makes no sense at all if we don't have the exopolitical connection. If we don't have the exopolitical connection, all we're doing is chasing our tails, and we are completely caught in the combative, dualistic mind control, throwing stones at each other because I'm right and you're wrong. And so I just really want to say thank you and for bringing this new platform for us to begin. And I want to, the archons and the relationship to the Pope, the Obama, and the King, Queen, the understanding that the human species itself, where does that fit in? Because it seems like there could be yet this, the next level would be a more defined role of humanity in this. It's almost like the human itself is not considered anything but something to manipulate and control for the ends of these other beings, agendas, whoever they might be. But the human itself, what is the human itself, and what is its role in this? And in the conversation of consciousness, in particular with the Obama, and I really do want to go into the mind control of this, but how is the human as a species set up to be this tool of just mind manipulation, and why would the human need to be here at all?
Well, that's a key question, that's a key question and exopolitical question. And if we go back and examine our history, we discover that Homo sapiens was originally created by a consortium of upper dimensional human civilizations, the Pleiadians, the Alpha Centaurians, the Syrians, and others. They are sort of our caretaker civilizations for this quadrant of the galaxy. And we were created as a very unique experiment, as 12-strand DNA light beings in the third dimension. And what occurred, what seems to have occurred, is that there was an intervention by a predatory extraterrestrial race called the Anunnaki ETs. And they, about 280,000 years ago, this is an actual dating, I've been to the site, Adam's Calendar in South Africa, where the Anunnaki actually landed, started their gold extraction, and also using advanced sound technology, devolved the human DNA down from 12-strand DNA to 2 strands. So we became consciousness slaves of the Anunnaki. And that's where the, what I call the Anunnaki Illuminati exploitative hierarchy started. That's where the kings and queens started. And we went from the light being guardians of this to the slaves, not only at a material level, but at a consciousness level. And all the pharaohs are in, you know, the pharaohs and the kings and queens and the emperors and the presidents, that is all, they're all remnants of the Anunnaki occupation. So it's as though nothing has changed in 280,000 years. Mm. It's all still being exploited for the gold, and the exploiters, the inheritors of the and enforcers of the Anunnaki Regency are still trying to keep humanity in its 2-strand DNA. And that there's a counterforce of indigos, you know, we're early indigos and star seeds and crystal children, different generations coming in with 4-strand DNA, 6-strand, and all these multidimensional capacities that are starting to break up these forms that have been imprisoning humanity and the planet in with these negative, predatory, interdimensional forces. And that's kind of the process that's occurring now in time and interdimensionally. It's a real planetary liberation from the inside. Mm-hmm. As we, humanity, starts to reclaim our heritage as 12-strand DNA light beings in the third dimension. As we do that, then, our social forms begin to be a reflection of that. You know, it is no longer acceptable to have war as our primary industrial activity, to have a planet of war, disease, crime, and poverty, to live under a multi-generational satanic Anunnaki abuse system, where, you know, we're controlled by Jay Parker, who I interviewed, said there's 34 million Americans who are inside the multi-generational satanic Anunnaki abuse families, where they're, you know, the infants are incested by the parents, and they 800,000 children disappear so they can have child sacrifice in front of their little children to keep them on trauma-based mind control. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the rulership of the United States. That's what the Founding Fathers did. They were all mound gritters. They built their homes, Mount Vernon, Monticello, Thomas Jefferson, all on the mounds of the Native Americans that were 1,000, 1,500 years old and built on ley lines. So they were appropriating all of the organic energy of the Native Americans. And as Freemasons, they were satanic Illuminati. They founded this country so that the god they were showing was Lucifer. They believe all men were created equal if they were male and if they were white and property owners. Mm. So that's why we had slavery and women couldn't vote. So we're slowly coming out of that. The great seal on the back of the dollar, "In God We Trust," people think, oh, what a God-fearing nation. No, it was "In Lucifer We Trust." Mm. And that's why the United States has 175 military bases around the world, is the only nation that has nuked another nation dropping nuclear weapons on its Christian city. Hiroshima was the one religious center, a Christian city. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the developers of the atomic bomb were satanic Illuminati out of the city of London. They weren't Christians. This is a spiritual war that we're in. Mm. So we're moving out of the duality of that era now into unity consciousness. Okay, we're all one. We're all one. And the point was brought home to me this past week when one of my brothers gave me for Christmas the National Geographic Geno 2.0 project, where you give a little bit of your DNA and it gives your whole family history. Mm. And everything goes back to Africa. It goes back to one little family, one little tribe in Africa that the Anunnaki, you know, were tinkering with. And so, you know, racism is absurd. I mean, we're all one. Mm-hmm. We're all just being manipulated in this cruel cosmic joke.
Yeah, thank you. That was a really important place to begin, because I think that the human itself is very susceptible to this mind control because it doesn't have a clue who it is. You know, that we're taught absolute garbage in school. You know, I had to divorce Darwin, right? I had to go a little deeper into my spiritual heritage to come to an understanding that, first of all, the body isn't who I am. But then second of all, this sacred vessel, this human form, has a purpose that is beyond the indoctrination and the do as you're told and, you know, play your role and, you know, all the things we are immediately assigned when we arrive here. You know, it really does, it takes a bit of fortitude of spirit to just, you know, even question that. And I really think that the lack of our knowledge of our spiritual heritage, that we are divine beings, that this creation itself on this planet has a purpose beyond even our wildest comprehension, but certainly worthy of reflection, has everything to do with why we're here beyond becoming the slaves of the mind control that we've been participating in and, you know, certainly victims, quote, of, but I don't like the word victim because I think that ultimately there are no victims, that ultimately we all have the choice to develop our own integrity in our own pursuit of knowledge and our own understanding of who we are. And that doesn't mean that we, you know, have a goal of getting it right. That just means that we have a power to question. And it seems to me that questioning is a really effective tool at immediately challenging this mind control trance. As soon as you question where a thought comes from, suddenly the water changes. And you know, I really do see that we're all in a trance. And in America, it's never been more bold to me with the Obama selection. I call it the selection, him being brought to the high office of president. The whole game of the presidency is such a mind game. It says, there's the president. He runs the country. He doesn't run the country, really, you know, but they're the mass consciousness of America, thinking it's free, thinking it, you know, these white guys were sages and they wrote this beautiful constitution and, you know, like the weaving of it all. And then the black prince arises, you know, which is really important in the mind control because that's like symbolic of the ultimate oppressed in America making it to the top, which is the one of the underpinnings of this whole American mind control structure, which is that anybody can come here and get what they want if they work hard enough. And so this, and then this is just pulling from the obvious symbolism of having a black man now the supposed top of the line. And now how could that be deconstructed as anything but, you know, the Lamb of God, the Savior, you know, without personal questioning, you know, without some real serious, whoa, what is this guy doing, you know, seriously looking at things, which is not an easy thing, you know. It's very challenging when you have to look at, you know, things that you've been believed to be so sacred and so important and have such a deep underpinning of who you are, to realize that, wow, there's betrayal, you know, there's abandonment of complete understanding of who you thought you were, and you have to go back to the drawing board. So what we're asking humanity to do is a pretty tall order, you know?
Right. So why is it, or is it, that are people still enmeshed in these concepts? You know, right now we have a disproportionate amount of the world's domestic product involved in armaments and war, and involved in religious conflict, Christianity versus Islam. And it turns out that the Catholic Church, the Vatican, may have engineered Islam and or fourth dimensional entities who are channeling through to the Prophet. The Prophet Muhammad may have, you know, affected him as well. So how do we begin to move through all of this duality to an understanding of unity in a way that humanity does not act out in the interim into self-destruction? It seems to me that humanity will not act out, and that we're on a positive timeline, and that the functions of the false flags are what my colleague Laura Magdalene Eisenhower calls the false matrix, and that is their attempts to hypnotize humanity and to use its collective energy to fulfill a catastrophic timeline, and to keep humanity enmeshed in a false matrix and a false timeline, comma. However, at this time, the forces at the cosmological level of unity consciousness, at the interdimensional spiritual level of positive spiritual as opposed to diabolical, at the exopolitical level of upper dimensional human as opposed to Draco reptilian, and at the bottom line human level of star seeds versus, you know, humans that kind of want destruction, is such that we are bringing the planet slowly into light. And that's one definition of ascension. And I think that's the primary theme of your program, right? And that's sort of the primary journey that we're on. That is ascending, moving as a collective toward finer and finer dimensions of light, love, and energy, all of which define Source or God. so that by stepping back and witnessing this process, we can really see divinity in action as the New World Order deconstructs and fails? Or is it that I just have rose-colored glasses on? You know, give me some objective feedback. Is most of the population that hypnotized? I don't think so. I think people are really realistic. They just happen to be surrounded by compromised institutions like the mainstream media. What's your opinion on that?
I agree with that. I agree with that. And, you know, it really is a very different story when you do talk to individuals and when you set the conversation up to allow the individual to speak their truth. You know, that there is a very different conversation than when you have to go through the levels of media programming. You know, in the, I find when I'm really wanting to talk with somebody on a heart level, there's all of the first repetition of the media, you know, and then when you get to the heart level, people are not buying it. People are not amused by it. And the one common theme is people are tired of the violence. We're tired of the violence. Nobody wants the violence. We're really ready to put it away. And, you know, with the scene that's happened in Boston, they're so committed to keep pouring fear into this community. In fact, yesterday in the local rag, they put in this big thing. Oh, the water supply is being monitored since a trespasser came in, you know. And so the trespasser, and you're supposed to get really afraid now that, oh, the trespasser means they're going to poison the water. And so be walking around and afraid. And then if you're really in the mind game, then you really start thinking everybody around you might be the one that put the water poison in there. You know what I mean? It's like, it's nuts. But people are just, I think it's wearing off. It's almost like in the mind control studies that I've done, there is a particularly with the children that have been in satanic rituals or in that program of some variation from childhood, something happens around 30 where the entity, the human itself starts to question. There's something in the spirit that starts to get restless. And that is one of the reasons, according to some of the things that I've studied, that the Illuminati, satanic, Luciferian controllers of the game will remove or dispose of people, their mind control slaves, their sex slaves, their messengers, all these people, they're, you know, they're super soldiers. They breed and make all these superhuman people to do their dirty work. And then around 30, when the mind control starts to wear off, they just get rid of them. Because something in the human itself just knows instinctively, wait, what's going on? And gratefully, some have lived to tell. Like, oh gosh, my mind just went blank. There have been several people who have lived past 30, and I think this is one of the reasons why the 27 Club in the entertainment industry is born, because, you know, they just make it a ritual as well as everything else. So I definitely see that the human, I feel like the human is kind of going through that. It's kind of going through this.
Sorry, what is the 27 Club in the entertainment industry?
The 27 Club is a name that was given to the artists that die at 27. And there are lots of them. Lots and lots of them. One of them, Amy Winehouse, was the most recent one that I'm aware of.
So is this some sort of satanic Illuminati assassinate ritual sacrifice program whereby they assassinate the artists that they've created in order to harvest their energy or something like that?
It might be in part that. I don't see why not, because their whole objective is to harvest energy. That's definitely the whole point of all a satanic ritual, from what I've gathered, for a long, you know, understanding of why they need to harvest energy. You know, they need to harvest the fear, the lower energy vibrations, for their own sustenance. So creating the satanic rituals and creating the suffering, and that is what directly feeds them. Creating war, creating terror is a direct food line to them. So this is very important. And so, yeah, I'm sure it seems logical that that would be a part of it. But another part of it that's equally logical is they just don't want people speaking out, you know? They don't want people to wake up and say, you know what? I've been a mind control slave for the last 30 years, and it really sucked. This is what happened, you know?
I see.
Exposure's the worst, you know?
Right.
Exposure's the worst.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. We're turning the light on now because we're growing up.
Right.
We are. And so what do you suppose the human itself, is it violent, Alfred? Is the human being itself a violent species?
No. There's a study which you can look at, that of the permanent war economy. And war is an industrial activity, and it is propelled essentially by finance capital and by the bloodline bankers and the monarchies. And both fascism and communism are inventions of the satanic Illuminati bloodlines in order to further the permanent war economy. And this is how the Anunnaki occupation has exploited the planet and exploited, and other dimensional powers from the archonic level, which is inorganic and interdimensional, to the diabolical level, which is these large negative spiritual entities, Lucifer, Satan, to the negative ET levels, the Anunnaki, the Draco Reptilians, the Orion Greys, and down to their 3D manifestations, all of the isms, all of the governments who carry out the industrial activity known as war. That's an industrial activity on which you control both sides. You control both sides of the war, you know, side A and side B, the blues versus the red, the communists versus the capitalists versus the fascists. So that if you're looking at World War II, the Illuminati, through Skull and Bones, Fritz Thyssen, started finance Adolf Hitler and the Nazi movement, starting in 1923 through Bush, George W. Bush's grandfather, they also started Bolshevism and communism. And Mao Zedong was a Yale Skull and Bones project. So all of these isms are started as memes and organizations for purposes of mind controlling large segments of the population and then setting them against each other in wars, in actual physical wars or trade wars or other sorts of wars. And that's how control is maintained, either through the divide and conquer. And then when there's a term, it's called louche. It's kind of the conflict, fear, control, soul energy that is sold off to the fourth dimensional reptilians. And that's what comes off in war and natural catastrophes created by HAARP and in famines, you know, and in police states, you know. So you keep people in fear. And you're selling that off to 4D people. So we're like a large animal farm that is kept for negative interdimensional civilizations. There's some research that shows that some of the tools for the mind control maybe run out of the moon. The moon is actually an artificial satellite which was moved in either right before or right after the 9500 BC solar system catastrophe. And it is like a transducer or a reflector that reflects mind control programs that are broadcast out of the rings of Saturn, according to some theorists. And that's why people here really stay inside their roles. So, you know, they stay inside all of the institutions. You know, they stay inside and willingly go off to war. They willingly stay as Roman Catholics or Islamists, you know, stay inside women being oppressed worldwide, you know, that stay inside these kind of medieval, barbaric institutions. It's really because of the mind control broadcast from the moon. So this is like a large laboratory, and we now know this. I mean, from an extrapolitical point of view, this is known, this is broadcast, it's published, you know, it's competing for world attention with a lot of other information, and only people at the fringes of society really know and understand it. And the tremendous numbers of, there's a tremendous infiltration of the truth movement by disinformation operatives. And also there's just a lot of information confusion. So how this is, the precise mechanisms of how this is going to work out, we will see. But my perception is that we're on a positive timeline, and the various dynamics at all levels of the system, from the cosmological on down, are pointed toward that process of the positive, such that the old negative of control no longer works. Now, how we're going to get beyond the moon mind control, the moon matrix, I don't know. Earlier this year, this other talk show host and I tried to get started a Move the Moon program. But, you know, I mean, for the bulk of humanity to wake up and understand that they're being mind controlled because the moon is an artificial satellite and it's just beaming mind control 24/7 into human society, which is why we're still back in the Middle Ages. It's going to take some external force, I just don't know. You know, it's hard to visualize what that's going to be.
I think that's where the universal love intelligence comes in, because in some of your writing too, you comment several times in different extraterrestrial interventions, and you know, I'm a proponent of this understanding that we have friends in high places. We aren't the only ones playing in this game by a long shot, and that the idea of the thing, you know, that might actually shift the mass mind. I'm not sure what that would look like either, but what I am seeing consistently is that the Illuminati, Satanic, Luciferian program going on here, though, that upper theater, they're having more and more problems getting their story together. They are becoming really laden with upheavals and problems on the inside. Their infighting is starting to leak out, and I think it's helping breaking down programs because they really, they're screwing themselves up. And one of the reasons, I have a recent example to offer for that, which is the Benghazi disaster in September, you know, of 2012. That was last year in 2012. Well, that, a lot of stuff has been surfacing about what happened there. And from the very beginning, when they were putting out the press about that, their press coverage, their you know, totally blasphemous media was, instead of making a good case to cover their bums, they were actually making it more crazy, and more people were questioning from the very beginning. I mean, I heard people that would normally be right along with the program. Oh, well, geez, those bad terrorists saying, well, what the heck? You know, what was going on with America? What was our responsibility? You know, this is me paraphrasing. But, you know, there was questioning right away, and now stuff is coming out about, you know, the high-level people coming forward and saying, well, actually, this was a co-creation with an American consort in the White House participating, which, you know, that doesn't look good for them. Their own problems are starting to become public, and that does affect the mass mind. Ultimately, it's less reliable, and I think that that's one thing that breaks down the human allegiance, which is consistency. Consistency is really important in developing your adoration for any system. If you're consistently evil and you can count on it, then people will be much more trusting of you, because consistency seems to have some relationship to the human psyche. It needs consistency. But when it becomes inconsistent, then the human is off. The psyche doesn't connect. And it's left, you know, to its own, which is what we want, ultimately.
Right.
That's the goal, right? We want people to be left to their own to reconsider things, right? So I think that the universe is working. There are things that are just shaking up, but it's more subtle. Like, I think one thing goes with the catastrophobia, this idea that, you know, we're all waiting for the next shoe to drop kind of thing from the catastrophe in our consciousness. The universe is much more subtle, that these shifts are happening all the time. But while we're waiting for the big boom or something, it's actually happening all the while. So we might not see it as readily, but we might just more or less wake up to it one day and go, wow, and then look back 5 years and go, can you believe that we were doing that? You know, it might be something like that.
Right.
Because there's definitely changes, there's definitely upheavals within the institutions themselves. And, you know, the Obama is a really great test for America. The Obama. The entirety of his bringing this hope, you know, the change you can believe in. And let's go there. Let's look at some of these things that are being fed into the psyche right now that America has to face in itself, because what he's representing, it seems to me, is the ultimate lie and deception of not just himself as the deceiver, but he's embodying the entire deception of what America has always been.
Right, right. You know, that's exactly right. And we can follow that thought. There are a couple of ways that we can trace that. One way is this, which I'd like to explore with you. right after I finished the Barack Obama is the archetype of the deceiver, I received this long feedback from, and various people came back and said, no, you're not looking at the totality of the reality, and that underneath it all, the entity we know as Satoru Obama is actually a good soul. It's a starseed soul, and that it's trapped inside of a very challenging role. But so I began to look at some of the, you know, some of the possibilities of that, and you know, you know, for example, this person wrote to me, and it's funny because all of these were women who came up and kind of urged me to look at more of a totality from the soul point of view. They said the difference between the Bushes and Mr. Obama could be that whereas they come off and looking like reptiles and were perceived by many as reptiles, Mr. Obama does not easily come off as a reptile, though he resembles one so more lately. Perhaps he is not one. Or so I said, well, let's look at a couple of options here because, you know, let's just put things on the table and kind of looking at them. We have this one channeled, and this is channeled information, which is highly susceptible to being corrupted, especially channeled information from 4D, which we know is infiltrated both by the Illuminati and by negative dimensional forces. But there is the messages from Matthew. Are you familiar with those? Or?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. So, and I know Susie Ward, Matthew's mother, quite well. And so the Matthew channel says, listen, no matter what you think, the entity, the soul there is a starseed soul. It's a very positive soul, and it is here on a positive soul mission. And sure, it's got lots of challenges, but it is, you know, it's, let's, you know, it's basically keeping us out of World War III, and, you know, there are a lot of things that you may not like, but it's, you know, it's keeping us out of some really nasty places that if there were other souls in there, we might go to. So I said, okay, well, let me look at these possibilities, although it's very difficult for me to understand how such a soul could go to the Newtown Massacre and be the capstone there, you know, I mean, don't they, you know, and he's a lifelong CIA operative, and the CIA has done 19 straight false flag mass shooting operations to introduce the shredding of the Second Amendment, which was introduced so that the population could defend itself against a tyrannical government, you know. And anybody in their right mind could see within minutes that the Boston Marathon is what they call now technically, quote, police-created reality, end of quote. That's a new genre, right? And their firms, you know, major firms are bidding on the contracts for police-created reality. I mean, the successor to Blackwater is bidding on the contracts for the next false flag in the police-created reality genre, right? I mean, that's how America works. That's where the money is after 9/11. It's in false flags. So So I said, okay, how could Obama, if he's a good soul and a starseed, deliver the capstone for both of these false flags? So then I looked at a couple of more things from the mainstream media, and I saw that people who meet with him find that he and his family are in a complete bubble. Hmm. Like, they are totally in a bubble. Like, his wife, Michelle, is building these organic gardens, and this one person, a prominent Canadian actor, was supposed to meet with both of them, and he brought a letter to Michelle showing how when black people in Oakland tried to build a community garden, they were repressed by the government and the police, you know? And when he gave her that information, she totally fell apart and didn't know what to do. And the whole, you know, he was kind of shuffled out, you know? It was like cognitive dissonance. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like...
Oh, yeah.
They're in a bubble where they're saying, yeah, this is great, grow your organic garden, but, you know, it's all bullshit. Excuse my language. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a meme. It's artificial reality and a bubble that they live in. The same with Obama. When this actor delivered a letter to Obama, he said Obama didn't even touch it. This aide came in and snatched it, and it was, you know, went off into a black hole, you know?
Wow.
You know, so these people are, you know, so I said, well, let's look at this hypothesis, that he's a starseed, and the reason why he's doing these capstones is that he's in such a bubble that he even though he's been a CIA operative since he was 18 in 1980 or so, and inducted into the CIA then, and went on the Mars jumper program, he's still under mind control, and therefore he's unconscious that he's implementing the New World Order. Let's look at that. Or let's look at a second alternative, and that he is a secret infiltrator. He is at the deepest starseed level, he's an infiltrator, and he's secretly there to overturn the New World Order, and that's why the GOP is so mad at him and won't let him do anything, is because they know that he's a subversive, you know. Somehow, and these were urged onto me by various people. What do you think about these alternatives?
Well, I think that it's really important, as we're moving into unity consciousness, to really be committed to welcoming all experiences and all testimonies and all truths, you know. And I feel like it's really important to fully respect that everybody has their experience and that it's related. And my analysis is it's connected directly to where the individual soul growth is. You know, on one level, it's multidimensional. This is our whole world. Reality is multidimensional. It is multidimensional. So on one dimension, people who need to see him as a benevolent manifestation, regardless of his behavior, might have a particular need to believe that something good is going to come out of him, period. That there might be something on a much deeper level than just his behavior, which I think is what you're saying. But this is an important thing to consider. On the other dimensions, where obviously his behavior has been so consistently malevolent toward humanity, he has been the script reader, he has been the enactor of all things that have brought this country to its basically demise. He's been the one that brought in the end, you know, 2008 when the financial coup happened, and that was it. Welcome to the end of America is pretty much, in my perspective, what he's brought in on that dimension. And then there's a whole nother possibility here, which is that in the very sophistication of the what I call the shadow alchemists, the weavers who really understand the soul component, what I call the life force, the soul, and the body, and they intimately understand the separation. And this is what people refer to when they say, well, I sell my soul to the devil. And that means that, in my interpretation, that your soul, you relinquish the sovereignty of your unique soul, and another soul is inserted in your body. And then your body becomes the embodiment of this soul that has been entered into your body. And on certain levels, this is what happens in the multiple personality disorders that mind control slaves accomplish. That's, on to me, it's an art. It's a shadow alchemist art that they can manipulate the mind so thoroughly as to insert literal personalities. Those are shards of actual beings that come in there, which to me is very clear to see by the totality, down to the gene, down to the cell, down to the nervous reaction of the entity when a particular personality comes in. Then they switch the personality, this other soul entity, shard of this entity, comes in, and it's all happening with a single human body. A whole body can be possessed and controlled by another soul entity. So it's possible that this Satoru Obama, this fictitious creature with how many social security numbers does he have, and how many names does he have, and how many people need to have their personal files sealed, you know, within the first 24 hours of their presidency? I mean, he's got a very vague past to be. I mean, who could have possibly know who this person might actually really be? So he's obviously an archetype in the consciousness, because how could anybody even know who he is if we can't even know truly his place of birth? We can't truly know his lineage. We can't truly know anything about, you know, his life at all. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that we know much truth about any of them. To be honest, we are such, you know, players to the media. But the bottom line is that when we need to see something positive, you know, we want to believe that he is part of a positive birthing. He is, in the sense that he is giving us a really great example, a great light to look at what America really is. You know, he's turning on the light and saying, look, guys, your Constitution doesn't mean crap. Look, guys, I'm going to write these executive orders, and I'm going to make this a military country, because this is what it has always been. So he is shining a light for us all to see and help us realize where we're at, which I think is really key to making the next transition, because we're going to have to reckon with who we are now to move into who we can be. I really don't think there's any other way. You know, and the fact that America itself has been so duped to such a profound degree, you know, he is a blessing. He is truly a blessing, because he's really being the one that I've considered him the fall guy from the very beginning. You know, he's the fall guy. He's the one that's getting up there and showing us all the dirt behind the scenes. And can we look at him and truly be grateful for that information and love him anyway? You know, I feel like it really comes down to the individual.
Right. Yeah. So no, that's a very useful perspective. As you know, I've now been looking at the United States itself as a satanic, Luciferic nation. And this is a view expressed in this book by Christopher Story. You can get it at exopolitics.com. It's called The New Underworld Order. And that is, for example, when the reverse seal of the United States was published on the back of the $1 bill in 1933, it shows In God We Trust. Well, the God there is not what we think of Source. It's Lucifer, because the United States was founded as Freemasons as part of this satanic Illuminati plan, which is a Luciferic plan, which goes back centuries, if not millennia. And so most people on the surface think, oh, this is a nation dedicated to God, whereas it's a nation that was founded on and dedicated to Lucifer and Satan, who are the ruling gods of this planet, or were at that time. And that's why the country was founded on the backs of slaves, ruled over by property owners in representative government, which is that's not democracy, that's a neutering of democracy, because your representatives are always going to be bought by the power brokers. And, direct democracy is the only way to democracy, which, such as they have in the Swiss cantons, or such as you can have now because of new technologies such as the Internet. You can have a direct democracy and people voting on issues in real time. And in a very real, practical way, you can solve all of those practical problems. And that's why the U.S., it's the seat of the Federal Reserve Bank, which has enslaved humanity, which is with the U.S. dollar, which is owned by one family, one bloodline family. The Rothschild own all of the U.S. dollar bills. We only have a license to use them because they own the Federal Reserve Bank. The U.S. Is the only country that has dropped nuclear weapons on cities, which they did on Christian cities. Hiroshima was the religious Christian city in Japan, and they dropped the bomb there because the developers of the atomic bomb were satanic Illuminati out of the city of London. And now the United States has 175 military bases, and it was taken over after World War II through Operation Paperclip and other means by the Third Reich, who were the rollout of the Draco Reptilian and Orion Gray manifestation program on occupation on Earth. So Barack Obama, who is one of the four time travel predicted presidents on the face on Earth, the others being Bush Sr., Bush Jr., Clinton, and then Obama, his family was told he's going to be president in 1971 when he was 10 years old. And the whole legend of Obama was created then. This was a project of the satanic Illuminati multi-generational criminal planetary organization. And you're right, we can now look at Obama as a manifestation of that inside of a satanic nation on a planet that has been in the satanic Luciferic column, and that we're now moving toward the light. That's one way of kind of labeling the quote of ascension that we're in. And it very sharply contrasts with the American mythos. You know, Ronald Reagan, America is the city on the hill. Yeah, tell that to the 1 million Central Americans that were genocided by the Contras that were funded by the Americans during the 80s in the Civil War there. Mm. You know, tell it to the 10 million Vietnamese that were genocided during the Vietnam War, that was all about dope ink exporting its opium in the body, heroin in the body bags back to the U.S. to do an opium war against the U.S. and addict the African-American and the youth and the underclass of the U.S. to its drugs in order to deconstruct the people of the U.S. for what's occurring now.
Even the 10 million plus people that were genocided to raise the flag here on this hill they're so proud of.
Yeah. And the hundreds of millions of indigenous Native Americans, both in North America and South America, who were sacrificed to, you know, greed.
Mm. And the human complicity in that, which is the gift now to see, wow, you know, the gun is an option.
Yeah.
The gun is an option.
Are we at the point where we're going to pull out of that? My kind of vision is, yes, that we're on a new turn around the center of the galaxy. This is really a spiral. And we're under new conditions. The chapter has closed on the age of Pisces. We're on the age of Aquarius. And that we are moving into new forms, and that we have the technologies to move into things like direct democracy, which is really going to make a great difference. No more representative democracy as that's the ideal. No, you know, no more monarchies, no more $200 trillion families like the Rothschilds that are in league with satanic draconian forces and have kept the non-polluting advanced quantum access technologies like teleportation, anti-gravity technologies that would turn this planet into a paradise planet in a very short time, and have kept us mired in the petroleum nuclear civilization that is, you know, we are now objectively, I think it was just in the last few weeks, the report came out that we're right at the tipping point, you know, into slipping into non-sustainability in terms of the planetary ecology. It's clear that we're either going to break down or break through at this point. And my projection is breakdown, breakthrough. Not break down, devolve.
Mm. Yeah, I share that because that's just life. And you know, just like the birthing process itself, there's a traumatic passage, you know, when you go from being a fish in the womb to being a mammal on the planet, there's a very traumatic breaking down of a whole understanding of a whole reality, of a whole source connection, literally and physically. And I use that often in keeping myself sane, because the truth is that the earth is showing its choice not to support this anymore. And I feel like this is another way that the malevolent behaviors of the Illuminati, satanic, military, industrial complex destruction has been and is being used ultimately to serve a benevolent agenda. Now I'm talking about the chemtrails and the geoengineering and the creation of the drought that is now gripping the states. I'm watching the rivers dry up so fast these days. I mean, so fast. The drought's here and it's really intense, and it's, to me, very symbolic. It's very much, I feel, the earth itself saying, enough. I'm not going to support this, and if we're going to have to, you know, run out of water, we're going to run out of water. You know, we need the humans to remember, to come home, to revitalize their source connection, you know, with all that is, and somehow rekindle their joy and gratitude of life itself, to bring the waters. You know, the waters are waiting for us now. That's how I feel sometimes. I sit with the river often. Where I live now is very close to a river, and you know, this is tangible, right? Now we have all the multidimensional theories and all that stuff, but anybody can go outside and check it out, man. There's a drought going on across the country, you know? So this, to me, is another way that the earth itself is saying, I'm done. What about you? You know, the earth doesn't need us. I feel like on one level, humanity has to make its own sovereign choice of what it is going to do here. And you know, one thing, what do you think about this, Alfred? What do you think? Now, humanity's been in this mind control, you know, and you see how people want to be controlled. You know, there's ICY, how people want to be controlled. They get married to have a lover tell them what to do. They get a job they hate to be told what to do. They look for, you know, somebody to tell them what to do. People are addicted to control. They want to be controlled, and they want to be controllers. I'm speaking very general, of course. But on another level, the controlling mechanism's all breaking down and, you know, pushing on our sovereignty and all that. What do you think will happen as humans actually realize that there's nobody to control them?
Well, you know, this is the transitional process of Homo sapiens, our species, regaining access to its 12-strand DNA from the 2-strand. We were originally created as 12-strand DNA, i.e. highly multi-dimensional light beings in the third dimension of time-space. That's very powerful. We were meant to be the kind of the protectors of the time-space dimension. The Anunnaki ETs came in historically 280,000 years ago, some people say 400,000, but whatever the detail is, and using advanced technologies, sound technologies, devolved us down to 2-strand, which means we lost a great deal of our multidimensionality and consciousness. We're now, in a very short period of time, reactivating our DNA to where it's, you know, going from 2-strand to 4-strand, 4 to 6, some of the crystal kids are operating at 6 plus 6 to 8, you know, and many of us are, you know, there's large numbers of humans, there's large positive ETs and cosmic forces which are helping reactivate humanity's DNA at the same time, such that now, as the matrix power structure is deconstructing simultaneously at the time that our, you know, babies and infants are coming in as crystal kids with multiple sets of, you know, with more advanced DNA, with more advanced chakra systems. And so that implies that society will propel itself much more rapidly, and that within a century, the Earth will be a very, very different place to incarnate into, kind of a paradise on Earth. Now, that doesn't mean that the false matrix is not going to try to continue its program to take this off track, because that, you know, that has been a fight here for hundreds of thousands of years, if not more, actually since the creation of this particular universe. So progress is always relative on this planet, in this dimension. One of the statements done in that, one of the findings in the research done by Dr. Michael Newton of using over 7,000 cases of hypnotic regression of soul memories of the interlife, is that Earth as a reincarnation venue, you know, say, well, I'll take an incarnation on Earth as my next journey for soul development. Okay. This is a mother of all incarnations. This is like what they call a planet of suffering. This is like a real e-ticket of challenge and suffering, okay? Mm. And there are other planets that are planets of pleasure, okay? So it's like the incarnation system keeps Earth around for those people. You know, like the whole genre of extreme sports?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who love to dive off of mountaintops with these little bat wings.
Yes.
You know, yes. Or they love to go down white water rafting in the most extreme rivers. I mean, there's a whole genre of extreme sports.
Mm.
Well, in the same way, I would say, and this is based on objective evidence, that Earth is in the category of extreme incarnations. You know, extreme incarnations.
Hmm.
We incarnate into this dimension of Earth in order to really get in one incarnation, you know, a real kind of short, intense test at the starting point. And it's quite a privilege, I think, to incarnate here, because you come out of it really toned. You know, now we could have it, you know, very easy on other planets, but as I understand it, this is a very, very complex. And that's why so many avatars, and including Paradise paradise, sons of God, etc., and daughters of God, have chosen to incarnate here, is because of the, because it is such a rich incarnation venue. That's a hypothesis that you can draw, you can make and draw reasonable conclusions from the various data banks that there are in parapsychology and the study of reincarnation.
I wonder what you would offer to the solution. We're coming to the end now. We've got like 10 minutes or so, a little more. And, you know, the word deconstructing and taking the conversation from the position of humanity being wait and see, you know, well, let's see what Obama does. Well, let's see what the, you know, military industrial complex is going to come up with. And you know, they've got a lot of ideas, right? Like came across something, you know, there's apparently more false flags planned for a Boy Scout event that I just came across. I haven't researched, I haven't posted it, but, you know, they have planned many, many things to continue the campaign. So how would we become proactive in the deconstruction of it and you know, do our part toward that end of, you know, ending the violence once and for all?
Yeah. Okay, so there are two or three things there. I just want to be sure about this. Do you mean proactive in deconstructing it, or proactive in solutions to creating a positive future?
Both.
Okay,
I see
both.
Two sides of the same coin, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, here are some of the solutions that I suggest, and some of them are easier than others, and I'll just go through them. And then there, a lot of them are very, very well detailed. The first is really, sunlight is the best disinfectant, and that's why I try and continue to expose all to expose all of these hidden agendas and plans behind the New World Order, behind its police state, behind the false flags, behind the personages of the Pope, the Queen King, the Obama, behind communism, fascism, behind the Vatican, behind extraterrestrial disclosure, the various types of extraterrestrials. You know, I just try to expose it so that once it's exposed, because they're so much into secrecy, that being exposed, it takes away from the power. So that's one thing that I do. Secondly, I would say citizens' tribunals and citizens' grand juries of conscience to indict, prosecute, try, and convict all of these actors for ecocide, genocide, murder, suppression of constitutional rights, torture, all of these crimes. And right now, the institutions of justice have been compromised and infiltrated by the New World Order, by the Illuminati. So we have to create our own, our own institutions to do this. And, you know, I just had an interview with the Secretary of the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, Kevin Annett, and they're now going, they're opening up a whole series of tribunals in Italy where it's been a crime to criticize the Vatican and the Pope. It's criminal. They'll arrest you. And now they're going to go out and show these crimes of child trafficking, child genocide, satanic ritual child abuse that the Vatican has been at the center of. And they're now working with the Oath Keepers and sheriffs in the U.S. and will be starting common law courts in the U.S. as well to begin to try. Excuse me, I'm just kind of drinking too. For my voice. Thirdly, at the personal level, own your own sovereignty and rights as a sovereign being and citizen. Engage the body politic, you know. Mm. Become active in organizations, media, and campaigns that seek to expose and deconstruct the public order, the New World Order, rather. Support truthers for as leaders. Support truthers in public office. You know, withhold support from the Rockefeller crowd in public office. Speak out. Silence equals death. That's the old motto of the anti-AIDS movement back in the 70s, where they first discovered that AIDS was a bioweapon. Publish. You know, just become very, very vocal and expose the methodology. Stay in unity consciousness and commit to a positive timeline, and get behind movements to really transform and change and evict the for regime change, the regime being the New World Order, the Republican Democrats in the U.S. That's a regime. The Federal Reserve Bank, that's a financial regime. You know, end the Federal Reserve Bank. End all private banks. Create money as a public utility. End representative government. Start direct democracy. These are all movements that I believe people should work toward.
Thank you. Yeah, and you're an example of all of that, too. So we can go to exopolitics.com and meet some of these organizations and explore some of these deeper truths and become more educated and begin our own personal journeys of what that might manifest, what that might look like in our own lives. And thank you so much, Alfred. You know, it's so big, this. It's so big. It's so multidimensional. And the multidimensional component in the conversation lends such a great liberation to the, you know, entrapment, the source disconnect in our own consciousness. And we are, you know, coming really close now. And I wonder if you'd like to offer any closing words. You gave us some great solutions. And we are speaking with Alfred Lambermont Weber of exopolitics.com. And he's joined us these past 2 hours. It has been a fantastic, informative exploration of the multidimensional New World Order. I call the encore of the Old World Order, because it's just more violence, folks. And, you know, like, how much more do we need, really? So I would like to thank you and thank the ancestors, all those who've walked before us on this path of truth and light and healing for humanity and for the evolution of all species and benevolence here on planet Earth, and also those in malevolence on planet Earth, as this is an experiment and this is ultimately a learning ground. And as we move into unity consciousness, all play their roles, and they're all very important to learn and grow from. So I want to thank all the ancestors for who walked before us and given us this opportunity to walk forward now and to do our part. And to thank those friends in high places, our spirit beings that are in other forms who've joined us on this broadcast and who go with us everywhere we go. And thank you, BBS Radio, and all the good people in the back of the house there for making this broadcast possible. I'm Jamil Graham, your host, and my blog site is alchemyoflight.org if you'd like to stay informed. And so I am done with my end quote, and I'd like to hand the last word to you, Alfred, and thank you again for joining us.
Sure. thank you, Jamil, for this very insightful and valuable exploration that we've been developing over the past couple of hours. My principal message to people is that we're on a positive journey now, and we're on an upward spiral, and to really see it as such, and at the same time, to really face the truth openly and to see reality for what it is, both the old reality, the old forms that are dying of the old world order, and the new forms, kind of what they are, and sort of the manifestations of light and love and the divine that are coming in so rapidly. This is such a unique time, and a unique moment that I would urge people to rededicate themselves and to really really participate in their lives at the utmost level of consciousness. People can go to exopolitics.com. We have a continual update of information there. And I want to thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Bless you, Alfred. And thank you to the listeners. You are why we're here. Multidimensional listeners. Okay. Well, this has been the Alchemy of Light broadcast, and thank you all for joining us. I am Jamil Graham signing off. Please do take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other. Until next time. Bye-bye.